Welcome to In Your Corner, the program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we are in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, has given his Holy Spirit to indwell you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil. We got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your wife. Go wake up your husband. Wake up your children. Wake up yourself. Wake up, sister. Wake up, brother. Wake them all up this morning. Come on, y'all. Get out of bed, sleepy head. Get out of bed, sleepy head. Come on, y'all. It's time to get up. Let me go get my roosters then. Let me go get my roosters. Y'all kind of slow this morning getting up. Y'all need to get on out that bed, sleepy head. Get them up. Get them up, Crow. That's right. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. Come on, Benny. Get them up, Red. That's good, Red. Get them out of the bed, sleepy head. It's time to get up, y'all. Oh, let me go get me a song then. Let me go get a song. You know, we hadn't had our hymn for the week. Let me go get an old hymn then. This is a song we used to sing down there in Mississippi. Growing up as a little boy, I learned this hymn. It was Yield Not to Temptation. That's the name of this song. We used to sing that almost every Sunday when I was a little boy in Sunday school. Yield not to temptation.
This is a beautiful old hymn, and it says, yield not to temptation. Oh, oh, yield to innocence. Oh, yield. Victory will have. Help you, son.
Bishop David Ellis. Yield not to temptation. Amen. 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 Regardless what you're going through, you don't have to yield to temptation. You can just trust in Jesus, and Jesus will carry you through. All right, all right. That's your song for today. That's something that kind of helped you get ready, not only for today, but helped you start thinking about church on Sunday morning. All right, now it's time to read the Bible. Time to read the Bible. 2 Corinthians this morning. We're reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through chapter 11. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they went beyond our expectations, having given themselves first of all to the Lord. They gave themselves by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of others. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say,
his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing.
Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let those who boast, boast in the Lord. For it is not those who commend themselves who are approved, but those whom the Lord commends. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers and sisters who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such persons are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, You even put up with any who enslave you or exploit you or take advantage of you or push themselves forward or slap you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own people, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands.
All right. That was our scripture reading this morning. Reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through 11. May God bless those who have heard his holy word this morning. It's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. It's time to talk to our Heavenly Father. Come on, y'all. Come on and pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for another day and for another week. You brought us, dear God, a mighty, mighty, mighty long ways. You brought us all the way from Monday all the way to Friday. And Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, as we are looking towards the weekend, we're looking towards Sunday morning. Lord, we just ask that you will prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, dear God, that we can say and do what you want us to say and do. Lord, we pray for the janitorial staff, the cleaning crew, dear God, that they can get everything in order. So, Lord, we can come and we can worship you, dear God, in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we pray for all the auxiliaries in the church, dear God. We pray for the parking lot committee. We pray for the greeters. We pray for our ushers. We pray for our choirs and our praise team. We pray, dear God, for our ministers, our teachers and preachers. We pray for our deacons and we pray for our trustees. We pray for the audio video department. Lord, we just pray for every department in your church. And Lord, we pray that you can put us all on one accord, dear God, so that we can run like a smooth all machine, that everything can be done decently and in order. Lord, we pray that you'll bring that prodigal son back to church on Sunday. Lord, we pray that you'll save the lost and you'll encourage the saved and you'll rescue backsliders. Lord, we even pray for this radio broadcast and this radio station. We pray for the ministry of KLITB. Lord, we pray that all of our listeners will continue to just keep looking in the book. Lord, we just thank you so much, dear God. Lord, bless your people with the blessing they stand in need of. Give us all traveling mercies, not only this day, but throughout the weekend. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And for his sake we ask it. Amen. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's it. That's it. We done sung our song. We done had our prayer. We done read our scriptures. Now the clock on the wall saying that's going to be about all for us today. Now let me remind you that we play the best of In Your Corner and Ghostbusters. We just play the best of that on the weekend. So tune in on the weekend, and if you miss something, you just may hear it played again on the weekend. All right, let me encourage you to stay with us now the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood, and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church in Irving. Stop by and worship with us sometime. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. Then at 11 o'clock, it's time for a deeper look in the book. 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So In Your Corner will be rebroadcast at 12 and 6. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 and 7. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 and 8. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 and 9. Unshackled will be rebroadcast at 4 and 10. And A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 and 11. So listen to us all day long, because we are In Your Corner.